Now this morning, we're going to look at what happened in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. What was some of the... What was some of the pictures that oftentimes we miss as Americans? As we look at, as we read our Bibles, we see the phrase "Bride of Christ" used in many different places. And on Easter, in that death, burial, and resurrection, the Jewish traditions of marriage shine through in very, very interesting ways. For example, when it's time for a young man and a young woman to be wed, they didn't have their parents send them out to start dating whomever, and maybe if they get lucky, they might find just the right person and have a nice long life together. If not, well, they can try again later. The Jewish customs were very, very specific and precise. For example, when it was time for a young man to become engaged, the fathers got together, and the dowry was discussed. After all, the father that was giving his daughter away to become a bride was losing a vital part of his household because of all the things that she was required to do by her father and by her mother. We think about the things we have our kids do. They help us cook at times. Sometimes they help us clean. Hopefully they do their own laundry. Hopefully they at least keep their rooms clean, and if we're in a pinch, maybe we can get them to dust the living room. And so the fathers were losing a vital part of keeping their household clean, and as well as the other things that the daughters were required to do or expected to do. So the fathers would get together. They would discuss the dowry. When a decision was finally made, they would have a glass of wine. And the father of the groom would take a sip, and he would pass that cup over to the bride's father. And when he took a sip, that meant he accepted the deal that had been made. At that point, the cup would be handed back to the groom's father. And the father would hand that cup to his son. And if his son sipped from that cup of wine, then it was understood that the son thought it was a fair deal that the fathers had made. And finally, the last person that the cup would go to is the bride, or the bride-to-be. And if she took a sip from that cup of wine, it means that she accepted the proposal to be married to this young man. Whenever we take communion, that's our end of the proposal saying, yes, I want to be a part of that bride of Christ. There are so many things that I was studying as I was trying to draw all this together. I take a month of Sundays and Wednesdays and maybe a little bit extra to get everything put out there for you. So if it seems like we're skimming and we're not hitting a lot of highlights or a lot of things that I could be discussing, it's because we don't have a lot of time. I don't want to keep you here till 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, unless you don't mind. I knew I wouldn't get that one. But the bride of Christ, as we look at the bride of Christ is a remnant. And in Matthew chapter 22, we begin to see a little bit of a picture of how the bride of Christ is being selected. It says, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent his servants to call on those who were invited to be at the wedding feast. But they would not come. If you'll remember, some of them said, well, I bought a field, I need to go check it out. I bought a team of oxen, I need to try them out. But anyways, it goes on to say, the wedding feast is ready. The king says, the wedding feast is ready. But those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you can find. And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. As we look at that picture, of that wedding feast, we see the king excited. His son is to be married to this young woman, to this perhaps even princess. And the people that he had invited, the dignitaries, the social elite, for whatever reason, felt that it was not in their best interest to show up at the king's wedding for his son. So the king says, I want you to go out into the highways and byways. I want you to seek out whomever would be willing, both good and bad. The picture that is drawn from that, the second portion of that parable, is that we are the guests that are being sought out. In this case, not necessarily to be the bride, but because the people that were first selected, the Jewish people, at this point, have rejected their invitation to the wedding. And so the king is searching for more to become a part of that relationship, to demonstrate the relationship of marriage. The father chose, or to demonstrate the relationship, the Father, our God, chose to use the marriage relationship as a type or a shadow to the degree of intimacy he wanted his son and the church to have together. If you'll remember with me, Jesus told his disciples, I and my Father are one. And that's the desire that he has for each and every one of us, is to have that type of relationship, that type of mindset, that the mind of Christ is our very thought. You say, well, Mark, I don't know. What is the mind of Christ? We have that written in our New Testament. Every time that we look at our Bibles, every time we begin to study our Bibles, we begin to see exactly what it is that's the mind of Christ. I think perhaps the thing that rings loudest in my ears is when Christ said that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our strength, and to love one another as we love ourselves. Too often we don't consider other people, even as we consider ourselves. We look at people and we say, oh, well, I see a problem there. I see a fault there. But that's not how Christ encourages us to look at one another. For example, we wouldn't want to go into the kitchen and put our hand in a frying pan full of hot oil because we love ourselves. We think more highly of ourselves than that. But then we hear of other people that might have experience some type of sickness, some type of tragedy, some type of accident. And we think of ourselves before thinking, oh, it's horrible that they went through that. We think, oh, wow, I'm glad that wasn't me. I mean, I don't know if I could have handled that. But as we consider, as we continue to look at it and consider the degree of intimacy, the marriage between Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden was a prophetic shadow of what would become Jesus' desire to be married to His bride, the church. It is important for us to understand that this marriage to Jesus is not a marriage in a physical intimacy area of marriage, but rather it is the relationship, the close bond, the shared thoughts, the mutual respect and admiration, the desire to please and to please one another. Have you ever noticed that when people have been married to each other long enough, oftentimes they can finish each other's... See? It works! That's just being a little silly there. But we do. There are times we can finish each other's sentences. Why? Because we understand, we know exactly how that person thinks. We know their mindset. We know what they like, what they dislike. For example, if I looked at Sandy and said, Sandy, instead of going home this afternoon, you want to go fishing? I know what her answer would be. She would say yes in a heartbeat. I wouldn't have to even finish the question. She'd be ready to go. That's the type of relationship we're told in the Bible that Christ wishes to have with each and every one of us. Not only Christ, but God does. He wants to have that type of relationship that's very, very close, like a mother and daughter-in-law. You know, I watched Terry and Doreen when they were together. You would think that they were two peas in a pod. Amen. That's the first time you've heard that. But they get along extremely well. I mean, and to see them together, you can see that there's mutual love and admiration between them. And when I see the relationship between those two women, it reminds me and helps clarify for me the relationship that the Father wants to have with each and every one of us. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 9, it says, "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. For the foolish took their lamps, but they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom! Come and meet him!' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish one said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil for our lamps.' But the wise answered, saying, 'There's not enough for both you and for us.' Afterwards, those other virgins also came, saying to the Lord, 'Open the door to us,' after they had gotten oil. But He answered, 'Truly, I say unto you, I do not know you.'" Whoops, I got a little bit of myself there. In this picture that Christ draws out for us, it's a discussion, literally, of people who claim to be Christian, but have failed to follow what the Word of God says in order to be a Christian. Now, over the past weeks, you've heard me say, God, God is looking for disciples of Christ, not just believers. This parable illustrates that to the fullest. He wants to see. He wants people to repent of their sins and to be baptized. He wants people to come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and of the Father. But in this parable, we see that there were five that chose to do their religion their way, so to speak, rather than what it says in the Word of God. And because they failed to follow what the Word of God said, they were left out. In Revelation 19:9, the angel said to me, the angel speaking to John, the beloved, the disciple whom Christ loved, write this: blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. The invitation is, will you take God's word for what it says? Will you accept that gift of eternal life by repenting and going through the baptismal waters for the remission of your sins? Any other way, you failed to do what the Word of God calls for each of us to do. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.